ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service on the personal to Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So today we are taking up Canto 6, Prescribed Duties for Mankind, a new chapter, Chapter 6, The Progeny of the Daughters of Daksha. The summary of this chapter: as described in this chapter, Prajapati Daksha begot 60 daughters in the womb of his wife Asitni. These daughters were given in charity to various persons to increase the population. So what's the Sanskrit name for this charity? The daughters were given in charity.
Kanyadam.
Thank you, Prabhu. So these daughters were given in Kanyadam to various persons to increase the population. Since these offspring of Daksha were women, Narada Muni did not try to lead them toward the renounced order of life. Thus the daughters were saved from Narada Muni. 10 of the daughters were given in marriage to Dharmaraja, 13 to Kashyapa Muni, and 27 to the moon god Chandra. In this way, 50 daughters were distributed. And of the other 10 daughters, four were given to Kashyapa and two each to Bhuta, Angira and Krishaswa. One should know that it is because of the union of these 60 daughters with various exalted personalities that the entire universe was filled with various kinds of living entities such as human beings, demigods, demons, beasts, birds and serpents. So this is the various kinds of living entities amount to, what is the number typically we hear in the Bhagavatam classes?
8.4
million species, which in science also nearly say that there are about 8.6, around that range they say that the species of life exists on this planet. Yeah, we open with the first verse of this canto. Not much of purports are given, so therefore we'll try to read incidentally the entire chapter. So the first verse, Sri Sukha Uvacha,
Sri Sukha Uvacha,
Tata Prachit So Sikniyam,
Tata Prachit So Sikniyam,
Anunita Swayambhuva,
Anunita Swayambhuva,
Shastim Sanjanayam
Asa, Shastim Sanjanayam Asa,
Duhriti Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Sri
Sukadeva Goswami said. Tatha.
After that incident.
Prachetasaha. Daksha. Asiknya.
In his wife named Asikni.
Anunita. Pacified. Swayambhuva. By Lord Brahma. Shastin. 60. Sanjanayam Asa.
Sanjanayam Asha.
Begot.
Duhiti.
Daughters. Pitrivatsala.
All
very affectionate to their
father.
Translation by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sukha Goswami said, "My dear king, thereafter, at the request of Lord Brahma, Prajapati Daksha, who is known as Prachetasa, begot 60 daughters in the womb of his wife Asikni. All the daughters were very affectionate toward their father." Purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. After the incidents concerning the loss of his many sons, Daksha repented his misunderstanding with Narada Muni. Lord Brahma then saw Daksha and instructed him to beget children again. This time, Daksha was very cautious to beget female children instead of male children so that Narada Muni would not disturb them by urging them to accept the renounce order. Females are not meant for the renounce order of life. They should be faithful to their good husbands. For if a husband is competent for liberation, his wife will also achieve liberation with him. As stated in the Shastra, the results of a husband's pious activities are shared by his wife. Therefore, a woman's duty is to be very chaste and faithful to her husband. Then without separate endeavor, she will share in all the profit the husband earns. So we go through the various verses in this chapter. He gave 6.2. He gave them 10 daughters in charity to Dharmaraja, the Yamaraja, 13 to Kasyapa, first 12 and then one more, 27 to the moon god, and 2 each to Angira, Krishaswasa and Bhuta. The other 4 daughters were given to Kasyapa. Thus Kasyapa received 17 daughters in all. Now please hear from me the names of all these daughters and their descendants who filled all 3 worlds. The 10 daughters given to Yamaraja were named Bhanu, Lamba, Kakut, Yami, Vishwa, Sathya, Maruprati, Vasu, Muhurta and Sankalpa. Now here the names of their sons. So in this, some of the names are familiar to us, which is Vasu, Muhurta and Sankalpa. Normally we try to take a Sankalpa, which is a vow on an auspicious day, maybe on your birthday or on a festival day or on a New Year day. We take a vow saying that this is what I am going to do for my spiritual journey, or this is what I am going to do in my material journey. 5. O King, a son named Devarshana was born in the womb of Bhanu, and from him came a son named Indrasena. From the womb of Lamba came a son named Vidyota, who generated all the clouds. From the womb of Kakut came the son named Sankata, whose son was named Kikata, From Kikata came the demigod named Durga. From Yami came the son named Swarga, whose son was named Nandi. The sons of Vishwa were the Vishwadevas who had no progeny. From the womb of Satya came the Satyas who had a son named Apasiddhi. The two sons who took birth from the womb of Marutvati were Marutva and Jayanta. Jayanta, who is an expansion of Lord Vasudeva, is known as Upendra. The demigod's name Mahuritikas took birth in the womb of Muhurta. These demigods deliver the results of actions to the living entities of their respective times. The son of Sankalpa was known as Sankalpa, and from him lust was born. The sons of Vasu were known as the eight Vasus. Just hear the name from me: Drona, Prana, Dhruva, Arka, Agni, Dosha, Vastu and Vibhavasu. From Abhimati, the wife of the Vasu named Drona, were generated the sons named Harsha, Shoka, Bhaya and so on. Ujjaswati, the wife of Prana, gave birth to three sons named Saha, Ayus, Purojava. The wife of Dhruva was known as Dharani, and from her womb various cities took birth. 13. From the womb of Vasana, the wife of Arka, came many sons, headed by Tarsha. Dhara, the wife of the Vasu named Agni, gave birth to many sons, headed by Dravinaka. From Kritika, another wife of Agni, came the son named Skanda, Kartikeya, whose sons were headed by Vishakha. From the womb of Sarvari, the wife of Vasu named Dosha, came the son named Shishumara, who was an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From Angirasi, the wife of the Vasu named Vastu was born, the great architect Vishwakarma. I think Vastu is a science with which, I think, at least in Asian subcontinent, like Indian subcontinent, people are mad, in the sense that they are willing to change the orientation of the properties, they demolish the properties, shift everything to see that something auspicious takes place. But when you tell them to do chanting, which creates the most auspicious environment, some of them take it, but others take it. Nah, we are more than happy to demolish the property to reconstruct according to Vastu. But from the architectural perspective, Vastu only deals with the environmental conditions, the way the sunlight and the weather, the rain, they come into the property. So therefore, accordingly, you orient your windows and doors such that you get enough light into the property. But that science has been now transformed to a fanatical state where people think that just have the property according to the Vastu, everything is auspicious in the family. Usha, the wife of Vibhavasu, gave birth to three sons, Vyusta, Rochisha and Atapa. From Atapa came Panchayama, the span of day, who awakens all living entities to material activities. So Yama is 3 hours, Panchayama is 5 into 3 hours, so 15. So daytime you have 15 hours and the night you have other 3 Yamas. So therefore 9 plus 15 is 24. So that's how the Vedic science divides it. Sarupa, the wife of Bhuta, gave birth to 10 million Rudras. You just can't imagine. So therefore people think that this is all mythology, but we don't understand when the Lord empowers somebody, anything can be done, anything can be created. So Sarupa, the wife of Bhuta, gave birth to the 10 million Rudras, of whom the 11 principal Rudras were Raivata, Aja, Bhava, Bhima, Vama, Ugra, Rishakapi, Ajaitapa, Ahir Pradana, Bahurupa and Maha. their associates, the ghosts and goblins, who are very fearful, were born of the other wife of Bhuta. So what is the connection between, because we hear Rudra, Shiva, Mahashiva, Sadashiva. What is the relationship between them? We are all in state of confusion about that, isn't it? So we have Sadashiva, who's eternal, and it says that Sadashiva resides in his abode, which is, I think, one third or one fourth is in the spiritual world, and three fourth is in the material world. Am I right, Mataji? One fourth and three fourth, yeah. One fourth in the spiritual world, and three fourth.
Three fourth is spiritual world. One
fourth
material world.
Is it? Okay. Thank you, Mother. I thought it was one fourth there and three. Anyway, so part of it is in the spiritual world and part of it is in the material world. And he is eternal. And he manifests in this material world as the first son of or the child of Brahma. So therefore he comes as Shiva. Now that Shiva expands into once again as Rudras. So here we find 10 million Rudras, and of them the 11 Rudras names are mentioned here. So when Lord Brahma was angry with whom? With the four Kumaras, that they were not participating in populating the universe, in that anger comes the Shiva, which is in the form of or Shiva, and because that Shiva was in manifested in the mode of anger, so therefore the children or the Rudras, they were all born with that anger in mode, and so therefore Brahma got scared and he says, better you take to tapasya, so you do tapasya and therefore you are not involved in the anger. So see, Vikrama Thakur comments that Bhuta had two wives. One of them, Sarupa, gave birth to the 11 Rudras, and other wife gave birth to the associates of Rudras known as ghosts and hobgoblins. The Prajapati Ingira had two wives named Swadha and Sati. The wife named Swadha accepted all the Pitas as her sons, and Sati accepted the Atharvangi Rasa Veda as her son. Krishaswa had two wives named Arsis and Dishana. In a wife named Arsis, he begot Bhumaketu, and Dishana, he begot four sons named Vedasira, Devala, Vayuna, and Manu. Kashyapa, who is also named Taksha, had four wives, Vinata, Kadru, Patangi and Yamini. Patangi gave birth to many kinds of birds and Yamini gave birth to locusts. Vinata gave birth to Garuda. I think all of us know that Vinata gave the birth to Garuda, who is the carrier of Lord Vishnu. And to Anuru or Aruna, the chariot driver of the sun god. Kadru gave birth to different varieties of serpents. So there was a huge quarrel between Kadru and Vinata. That's a different past that will not look here. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharatas, the constellations named Kritika were all wives of the moon god. However, because Prajapati Daksha had cursed him to suffer from a disease causing gradual destruction, the moon god could not beget children in any of his wives. Thereafter, the king of the moon pacified Prajapati Daksha with courteous words and thus regained the portions of light he had lost during his disease. Nevertheless, he could not beget children. The moon loses its shining power during the dark fortnight, and in the bright fortnight it is manifest again. O King Parikshit, now please hear from me the names of Kashyapa's wives, from whose womb the population of the entire universe has come. They are the mothers of almost all the population of the entire universe, and their names are very auspicious to hear. Maybe going through the history of the universe population, the listeners were maybe sleepy, so therefore to awaken them up, we find that the speaker says that here now, there are the names very auspicious to hear, so therefore everything good will happen if you hear their names. They are Aditi, Diti, Dhanu, Kasta, Arista, Surasa, Ila, Muni, Krodavasa, Tamra, Surabhi, Sharma, and Timi. From the womb of Timi, all the aquatics took birth, and from the womb of Sharma, the ferocious animals like tigers and lions took birth. My dear King Parikshit, from the womb of Surabhi, the buffalo, cow and other animals with cloven hooves took birth. From the womb of Tamra, the eagles, vultures and other large birds of prey took birth. And from the womb of Muni, the angels took birth. The sons born of Krodavasa were the serpents known as Dandasuka, as well as other serpents and the mosquitoes. All the various creepers and trees were born from the womb of Ila. The rakshasas, bad spirits, were born from the womb of Surasa. The Gandharvas were born from the womb of Arista, and animals whose hooves are not split, such as the horse, were born from the womb of Kasta. O King, from the womb of Dhanu came 61 sons, of whom these 18 were very important. Dvimurtha, Sambara, Arista, Hayagriva, Vibhavasu, Ayomukha, Shankusira, Swarabhanu, Kapila, Aruna, Uloma, Vrishaparva, Ekachakra, Anutapna, Dhumarakesu, Virupaksha, Viprachitti, and Durjaya. The daughter of Swarabhanu, named Suprabha, was married by Namuchi. The daughter of Vrishaparva, named Sharmistha, was given to the powerful king Yayati, the son of Nahusha. So who is King Yayati? Who are the descendants of King Yayati? Yeah, thank you. The Kuru dynasty, or the Pandavas, you can say. Today, once again, we have that wonderful pastime between Sharmistha, Yayati, and Devayani. Vyasvanara, the son of Dhanu, had four beautiful daughters named Upadhanavi, Hayasira, Puloma, and Kalka. Hiranyaksha married Upadhanavi, and Kratu married Hayasira. Thereafter, at the request of Lord Brahma, Prajapati Kashyapa married Puloma and Kalaka, the other two daughters of Vaishvanara. From the wombs of these two wives of Kashyapa came 60,000 sons headed by Nivaka Kavacha, who are known as the Paulamas and Kalakeyas. They were physically very strong and expert in fighting, and their aim was to disturb the sacrifices performed by the great sages. My dear king, when your grandfather Arjuna went to the heavenly planets, he alone killed all those demons, and thus King Indra became extremely affectionate toward him. In his wife Simhika, Viprachitti begot 101 sons, of whom the eldest is Rahu, and the others are the 100 Ketus. All of them attained positions in the influential planets. Now please hear me as I describe the descendants of Aditi in chronological order. In this dynasty, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, descended by his plenary expansion. The names of the sons of Aditi are as follows: Vivaswan, Aryama, Pusha, Twasta, Savita, Bhaga, Dhata, Vidhata, Varuna, Mitra, Shatru, and Guru Krama. Samagna, the wife of Vishwam, the sun god, gave birth to the Manu named Saddhadeva. And the same fortunate wife also gave birth to the twins Yamaraja and the river Yamuna. Then Yami, while wandering the earth in the form of a male, gave birth to the Ashwini Kumaras. So who is river Yamuna in the transcendental world? Yeah, thank you. It's an expansion of the Vishakha. Chaya, another wife of the sun god, begot two sons named Sanaishara and Savarni Manu, and one daughter Tapati, who married Samvarna. From the womb of Matrika, the wife of Aryama, were born many learned scholars. Among them, Lord Brahma created the human species, which are endowed with an aptitude for self-examination. So from the womb of Matrika, the wife of Aryama, were born many learned scholars. Among them, Lord Brahma created the human species, which are endowed with an aptitude for self-examination. Pusha had no sons. When Lord Shiva was angry at Daksha, Pusha had laughed at Lord Shiva and shown his teeth. Therefore, he lost his teeth and had to live by eating only ground floor. So this tells us how to behave with elders, or how to behave, or how to deal with exalted personalities. Just because he has shown his teeth, he lost his teeth and he had to live by eating only ground floor. I've seen in some cultures, especially in South India, when they eat, they don't show their teeth. So that carefully they take their prasadam. Normally when we eat, our teeth is visible to everyone. But they take so carefully, so gently. It's a culture, it's a very culture that they were brought up right from childhood, that the teeth is not visible. Rachana, the daughter of the Daityas, became the wife of Prajapati Tvastra. By his seminar, he begot in her womb two very powerful sons named Sannivesha and Vishwarupa. Although Vishwarupa was the son of the daughter of their eternal enemy, the demons, the demigods accepted him as their priest in accordance with the order of Brahma when they were abandoned by their spiritual master Brihaspati, whom they disrespected. Thus the end. The Bhaktivedanta purports to the 6th canto, 6th chapter. So we find not many verses has the purport. So, Om Jnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovrishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Tada Manyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Satyajatam Sarakana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sarakana Harita Sri Vishakamitamscha Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pangam Langayate Girim Yatrapadamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has the form of Satchitananda Vigraha. I offered my respectful obeisance unto Him, who turned the dumb into eloquent speakers and enabled the lame to cross mountains. Such is the mercy of the Lord. He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tanta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರವಭಕ್ತರಿಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಸೊ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್, ಶ್ರೀ ಸುಖದೇವ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸೆಡ್, ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಕಿಂಗ್, ದೇರ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದ ರಿಕ್ವೆಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ರಾಮ ಪ್ರಜಾಪತಿ ದಕ್ಷ, ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ನೋನ್ ಆಸ್ ಪ್ರಜಾಪ್ರಸ, be got 60 daughters in the womb of his wife Asikni. All the daughters were very fond, affectionate toward their father. So we have seen that in the last chapter it concluded with the curse of Daksha on Sri Narayana. So therefore we find there's a lesson for us to learn from the way the dealings took place between Daksha and Narayana. How do we apply that to in our own life? Somebody throws a stone at us. Daksha is cursing Narayana because Narayana has trained Daksha's not one child, two children, three children, but 11,000 children to become spiritualists. So therefore Daksha felt that his children were taken away from him, whom he was trying to perform a duty, and that duty has been obstructed by Sri Narada Muni, and therefore he became very angry and he cursed. So if we are in that situation, somebody curses us or somebody abuses us, somebody throws a stone at us, how do we respond to that? How do we react to that? There are a couple of options we have. That person has scolded us or abused us, we can also abuse back. You have abused me, I also abuse you back. That's one way of, we can't say it's a response, it's actually a reaction. And we call for tit for tat. Aapne ek patthar fekha hai aur main yeh hai 10 patthar fekha. So that's one way of reacting. The other, the person has abused me, I just keep quiet. I just swallow what the other person has said. So that's one way of, the second way of responding to the situation. But does that help the person who is keeping quiet and the person who is also abused? I don't think neither of them get the benefit. Because the person who is abused, he'll continue to abuse, or rather he becomes more aggravated because the other person who has kept quiet. So when you keep mauna, when you keep silent, the other person feels that this person is indifferent to what I'm trying to say. So therefore he tried to, internally he feels unhappy. And the person who received the abuse also is keeping quiet externally, but internally he is equally in turbulence. So that's the second way of responding. And the third way of responding is, well, I need to make a change in the life of the other person. The person has cursed, I receive it, or a person has abused me, I receive the abuse, but I respond spiritually. So when I respond spiritually, I'm praying to the other person or for the other person that let spiritual energy purify the consciousness of the person. So it may not happen immediately, or it depends on our own spiritual strength, to the what extent we are able to vibrate to the other person. But over a period of time, you will find the difference in the other person's personality. So therefore, the choice is with us. How do we react or respond to that situation? And here Sri Narada Muni is showing on a different plane where he can see the hand of the Supreme Lord. Because he is such an exalted personality that nothing material of this world can touch him. Narada Muni is not an ordinary person. He is a spiritual personality, and whatever curse Daksha has given, it's a material aspect. And how can material aspect touch a spiritual person? But still gracefully he accepts it. And we find a similar instances in Srimad Bhagavatam being given to us as an example to show us how to behave in a situation when we go through the turbulences in our life, the ups and downs in our life. The other example we find is Parikshit Maharaj. When he was equally cursed, it is said that he had the capability of counter-cursing. So one is counter-cursing, other is countering the curse itself. There are two aspects. One is counter-cursing, other is countering the curse itself. He had the ability to do that, but he kept quiet because he saw in that the hand of the Supreme Personality Godhead. Because they are always under the shelter of the internal energy of the Lord. And because of that, they can see, well, here Krishna is trying to show, has a plan for in this situation, and therefore they gracefully accept it. We find another example, Chitraketu, also a similar situation. So we find that here, Daksha, he saw that his sons were taken away on the spiritual path by Narada Mahamuni. So therefore he thought, this is not a good idea, so let me have daughters. Because daughters, as Srila Prabhupada says, that then Lord Brahma then saw Daksha and instructed to beget his children again. This time Daksha was very cautious to beget female children instead of male children, so that Narada Muni would not disturb them by urging them to accept renounced order. What an advanced science, we should say, that Daksha had in those days. We are talking of ages back. When he wanted daughters, he could have daughters. Today, I don't think even today it's possible that if I want to have a daughter, that I can have a daughter. Or I want to have a son, I can have a son. We had we have a neighbor in Hyderabad from where I come from. That family, they wanted to have a son. So they had the first daughter. Typically, that the tradition that somehow we want a son, because the son would deliver the family from Naraka, hellish situation. That's the general understanding. So they said, we'll go for the second child. The second child also became a daughter. They said, why not the third? Third also became a daughter. Why not fourth? Fourth also became a daughter. Then the fifth. Fifth also a daughter. Sixth. Sixth also a daughter. Seventh. Seventh also a daughter. And eighth. Eighth also a daughter. Then said, now no more. It's not like this. So, my neighbor, he had eight daughters. All the while thinking, at least I'll think of having one son, but he did not fructify. But here, we find that Daksha, he wanted daughters, and therefore he had daughters. So we find here that the list of personalities and species of life has been described in this entire chapter, trying to populate the universe. So therefore nothing much about the philosophy, but it's the gradual development of the universe is being spoken. So we find that the third canto describes the swarga, sarga and visarga, and the same theme is continued in the sixth canto as well. Sukadeva Goswami is saying how the world or the universe was populated with by Daksha to the 60 daughters. So we can see that the jivas, we get bodies according to our karma, isn't it? So therefore, there's 8.4 million species of life, and we move from one body to the other. And this world has been given to us to purify ourselves and return back home, back to Godhead. Actually, the human form life is only meant for that, to perform sadhana, this Krishna consciousness, perfect your life, deepen your faith at the lotus feet of the Lord, and at the end of life, return back home, back to Godhead. That's the only purpose for which the human form of life is given. But if that form of life is not used for this purpose, then a precious station or the life is being wasted. So we'll have to come back again in another body, which Krishna says in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosminyata dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tata dehantara praptis dhirasatra namuhyati. So the person has to come back in another body, depending on what we are at the time of departure in our consciousness, accordingly we get the next body. So here we find that the Daksha, or it says Kanyadan, that is what is being mentioned in this verse, in the summary. So I was thinking, it is a word, is it? Kanya is the daughter being given in charity to the person. And therefore, there could be an attitude of what in this day and age can a daughter be given in charity, dan, to someone, and that the person could misuse the lady or the daughter. So I was trying to see, and here equally Prabhupada says that females are not meant for the renounced order of life. They should be faithful to their good husband, for if a husband is competent for liberation, his wife will achieve liberation with him. As stated in the Shastra, the results of a husband's pious activities are shared by his wife. Therefore, a woman's duty is to be very chaste and faithful to husband. Then without separate endeavor, she will share in all the profit the husband has earned. So wondering, where can we find a reference to this section where whatever piety the husband has, a share the partner receives it. So I was trying to search through, and I found in clauses, maybe elsewhere is there, but in 4th canto, 4th chapter, verse number 3, Srila Prabhupada gives the purport. According to the Vedic conception of family life, the husband gives half his body to his wife. According to the Vedic conception of family life, the husband gives half his body to his wife, and the wife gives half of her body to her husband. So the husband gives half of his body to wife, and wife gives half of her body to the husband. In other words, a husband without a wife, or a wife without a husband, is incomplete. So Vedic marital relationship existed between Lord Shiva and Sati, but sometime due to weakness, a woman becomes very much attracted by the members of her father's house, and this happened to Sati. But the rest of the purport is something else. But what I'm trying to say is that we say that Ardhanarishwari, that half of the husband's half is wife and wife's half is the husband. So therefore, whatever piety the husband does, the wife gets. And normally this part we hear, but I've equally heard whatever piety the wife has it, equally the husband also gets it. And it's being emphasized about the chastity of the wife. We can take an episode from Ramayana where it was after Ravana fell on the battlefield, Mandodari, Ravana's wife, she was curious to see who is that personality who could bring her husband down to the earth dead. That her husband was such a powerful personality that no one could stand in front of him. And here a human being is able to kill him. So in an open hair, with anguish, tears in her eyes, she runs to the battlefield. And it is said that Lord Rama was sitting on a rock, and the sun was facing from behind, and therefore Rama was facing the other side, and Mandodari was running from behind. As Mandodari was running towards or coming towards Lord Rama, Rama could see the shadow of a lady coming towards him. And as he sees the shadow of the lady, he moves aside. Just by that movement, Mandodari could understand the purity of the person. That here is a personality who did not want to even touch the shadow of another lady. Whereas her husband was quite opposite to that. And then she realized this was the reason why or how that Lord Rama could kill her husband. So that is the strength of the chastity, the purity of the consciousness of a person. So we find that there are words like Ardhangini or Sahadharmini. I think all of you must have heard this, at least coming from an Indian background. What did you have heard? Ardhangini?
Sorry,
yeah. Okay. Ardha is half. Anga is part. So Ardhangini is half of the body. Which means one half. The literal meaning of Ardhangini is that the wife accompanies her husband in the life of for the spiritual journey or the spiritual goal. And she is also called Sahayogini. Sahayogini means that she cooperates with her husband in all her in all his jobs. Sahayogini. And is also called Sahakarmini, which means that she shares an equal part in all the actions performed by her husband. So Sahayogini, Sahakarmini, and Ardhangini. So these are the this is the Vedic understanding of a partner. And typically we say Pati Patni. Patni is not actually wife. We generally tend to say in Hindi or Sanskrit, ye to pati hai, ye patni hai, this is the wife or the husband. But wife is not an exact translation of patni. It is bharya is the exact translation of wife, not patni. Patni is considered, pati does not mean equally as a husband, but in Sanskrit, pati also means an abode or a resort. Pati does not simply mean a husband, but pati means a resort or an abode. So, when kanya dham, it means that the kanya is given or the daughter is given for to the dharma. The dharma resides in the pati, and to fulfill that dharma, the daughter is given in marriage. Because in Vedic rituals or according to Vedic understanding, the husband cannot perform any dharma, any dharmic duty can't be done. So we take the classical example of Lord Rama when he was trying to perform Ashwamedha Yajna. Then his guru, he said that you cannot perform Ashwamedha Yajna because your wife is not by your side. So therefore they gave an alternative solution. What is that? So they make a gold murti of Mother Sita, and that's how he could perform his duty. And it is in Vedic culture, the wife always accompanies the husband in all the duties. And it is said even when Lord Vamanadeva as a brahmachari he comes, even then also Mother Lakshmi Devi was accompanying him. How? Anyone remembers? I believe it is said that she accompanied him as the ankle bell. As an ankle bell. So therefore when Bali worships Lord Vama, they washes the feet, so they are actually worshipping both Lakshmi Narayana or both Vamanadeva and Lakshmi Devi, because she was in the form of ankle bell. That's how the wife and husband worship Supreme Lord and Lakshmi Devi. So therefore the act of giving one's daughter as a companion to dharma, to perform dharma to a pati who is the abode of dharma, is called kanyadan. It is not the giving daughter in charity to the person that the person can misuse or behave in any form. That's not the role of kanyadan. So we find that here another quote from Ramayana also says, this is from Valmiki Ramayana Sundarkanda book 5 sloka 2 and 5. I'll not read the Sanskrit part, but the meaning says that when Hanuman meets Mother Sita Devi, she asks him, Hanuman, is Sri Ram in her absence is like a breeze, or still maintaining his chivalry, or like a windstorm lost in sorrow, because the partner or the husband can show his chivalry or the strength or the courage or the consciousness only when the partner is by the side. Now that I am not by his side, how is he? She asks whether he is strong or has he been deprived of peace and strength. Is he determined or has he lost his determination in finding me? So all this indicates that the wife plays a dominant role or a wonderful role in the life of a partner, to see that the partner maintains the dharma, and therefore it is called kanyadan. Otherwise we think that here Prabhupada is saying that the daughter was given in marriage or charity, but that charity does not mean like taking some currency and giving us dam. It is giving the daughter to perform the dharma, the duty which resides in pati or even abode. So what we see fine here is that the entire universe had to be populated, and for doing that population, Daksha took the alternative route of not going through the son's descendancy. Rather, he took the road to the route of having daughters, and those daughters were given in marriage to exalted personalities, and through those exalted personalities we find the entire universe has been populated. So summarizing today's session, we find that there are ways of responding to a situation. If we are charged, we are spiritual, then our response would be spiritual. But if we are not charged, if we are not spiritually strong, then our response would be material. Turbulences in life is part of life. Ups and downs, everyone will have to go through. And there is a reason why a person is placed in deep turbulences. Because this world is meant for reformation. This world is meant for correction. It's only during the turbulence phase that we become closer, or we try to dive deeper in our relationship with the Supreme Lord. So in that situation, so we have the choices how to respond. Two, the chastity of the lady or the chastity of the family is important for this spiritual journey. And we find that the different forms of living entities are populating this entire universe. There's a reason. That the reason is that it affords a chance to move from one consciousness to the other consciousness as you move from one body to the other. And all that is, once again, for if you take it as one level, one aspect, there's a punishment, but actually it is for correction. Because the ultimate aim of the Lord is to take us back home, back to the Godhead where we belong to. So this is the concern of every parent, actually. It's an interesting relationship between the parent and the child. In that relationship, the child is dependent on the parent. Isn't it? In the relationship parent and child, the child is dependent on the parent. But yet, it's the child who is rebelling. Normally, someone who is dependent should not be a rebellion. But in this case, we find between the parent and the child, although the child is dependent on the parent, but it's the child who rebels against the parent. So similarly, Lord is independent, we are dependent on the Lord, and yet we have rebelled against the Lord, and therefore we are in this material world. But still, Lord as a parent tries to recover us back to home, back to Godhead, and therefore he devises various plans, various ways of correcting us and ultimately taking us back home, back to Godhead. And if that enters into our consciousness, then tears should come into our eyes when we hear Krishna Katha. Hare Krishna, any question or any comment? Yes, Mataji.
I was just trying to understand if this population of the universe, this process, through the daughters of Daksha, isn't this Divya Yuga and his Sankalpa, this Divya Yuga? Because before also in the Bhagavatam, we heard that Lord Brahma created all the living entities from this morning. And so just trying to reconcile, because we have also the creation, partial destruction, and then again the creation of take place. So perhaps you can give us some light in that.
The Brahma's creation to Daksha's creation, succession, that's what you're trying to compare.
Yeah, that different type of, because Swara Visarga,
see, Sarga and Visarga, what I understand is that the Sarga is the primary creation where the primary elements are provided by the Lord, and Brahma uses those primary elements to create the secondary creation. So we find that when Mahavishnu glances at Pradhan, then the various elements are formed. So there we speak about the water, earth, and so on. But what we see earth here is not what Mahavishnu's glance has produced the earth. This earth is a secondary creation by Brahma. So the earth, as we understand from Mahavishnu's glance, is different from Brahma uses that concept to create this earth. Or uses that water to create this water. But it is not that this water was created by Mahavishnu.
Yeah, in this case, my question is more related to Visarga, in the sense that Lord Brahma creates every day.
The population, that correlation, now I don't remember what Mataji, that Daksha's, this 260 daughters, the progeny and successive generations of population, to Lord Brahma creating, at what stage it correlates with that? No, I don't remember at this stage, if that's your question.
Yeah, in the sense that Lord Brahma, during the day of Brahma he creates, but at night everything is destroyed. Then next day again. So my question is related, if this process of creation of the living entities through Daksha takes place every day of Brahma or just this day of Brahma?
Oh. Every day of Brahma. It should take place every day of Brahma. Because we find that at the night time the dissolution takes place, and the daytime once again Lord Brahma himself, he is lost. What should he do? Isn't it? At the night time when he wakes up, he sees everywhere it's dark. He does not know what should he do. And he descends through the stem of the lotus flower, and then he hears the sound tapaha. Then, and then he does the meditation, and in that meditation, the Lord reveals to him what it is, what he should do, and then he starts once again the creation.
Yeah, he also described that he also create all the living entities that. They are described now, created by Daksha. So that's what I'm trying to reconcile.
Yeah, that part now, I have not read recently, so therefore the correlation I can't make, I do not want to make a statement. Maybe once I, if I refresh my mind, I'll let you guys in. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Grandharashima Bhagavan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.